So before I get going, I'll introduce myself a little bit more because there's probably some people who don't know me well. And I think even the people who do know me probably don't know a lot about me. So I've been at LFCC for about 10 years, nearly 10 years now. And I met my husband here. We actually met each other not long after I arrived. And I had to go on a journey with God to get on board with the fact that he was my husband, because I wasn't there. I thought God had someone different, but it turns out that he was the perfect one for me. So he's sitting down the front there with his Kookaburra t-shirt on. So we together run the missions board, so we help support and mentor both financially and spiritually all the churches in the global realm, which are equal. I think we may even be close to about 800 now. I'm not 100% sure, but 60 came on board just in the last month or two, so that's pretty exciting. So we actually work in with the Yvonne Hale Chants with that, and I also work in with this Anoint the World Theological Seminary as well. For my day job, I'm a research scientist, which is something most people don't know, only because I've taken a bit of a hiatus from it. So I've just recently stepped back into the workforce, which has been interesting, but God's teaching me a lot and blessing me mightily through that. So if I could have the first slide, that would be lovely. So today I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit's love and how it intercedes for us, which is a lovely topic for today, don't you think? Our scripture is Romans 8, 26 to 28, and that says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." This would have to be, I think Romans is one of my favourite books in the Bible, and chapter 8 is probably one of my highlights as well, so it's pretty exciting to speak on this one. So we know that Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, and so the Trinity consisting of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And in that, he's a distinct and a divine person, and it's he who's been sent to indwell Christians, true believers, as the manifest presence of God. So a pretty big privilege for him. I think sometimes we tend to forget about Holy Spirit, but he's got a pretty exciting role. He's the one who actually comes and hangs out with us on earth, which is wonderful. So before I go further, I just wanted to give a really quick testimony. This happened 2 to 3 months ago. We have a guest room in our house, and I like to go in there and just have some prayer time in the mornings. I find that's a good time for me and God. And I was just laying, reclining back on the cushions, and I sort of had my hands rested on my stomach, and I had my eyes closed, and I had a vision. I had a vision of Holy Spirit sitting on the edge of the bed, and he was sort of in a pensive pose with his head down and resting on his hand, and I thought, you know, I was really taken back, and it was a spiritual vision, a closed eye vision, because I opened my eyes to see if he was still there, and he wasn't. So I closed them again, and there he was again. So I said to him, "What are you thinking about?" And he didn't answer, and he just kept his pose, and I thought, okay. And I just sat there not knowing what to do, and all of a sudden this sense right from my core just rose up in me. "I've grieved you. Oh my gosh." And I said, "I am so, so sorry for grieving you." And I didn't even finish the end of my sentence. I didn't even finish apologizing, but literally mid-sentence, he reached over and put his two hands on top of mine. And oh my gosh, it was as if the words were important, but he knew that I was genuinely sorry. I didn't know what I did. He didn't spell that out. But just the love that came over me from that, you know, he's not a harsh God. He's not a harsh spirit. He's just so willing to reconnect with us when we're honest and open with him. And I just was so touched by that. Yeah. So if you could please put the slide up. Thank you so much. So we're going to have a look at the Spirit lit the flame. Holy Spirit helps us in weakness. Searching the depths, and it's all good. So for the first one, I'd like to start right back at the beginning, back to creation, Genesis 2:7, if you could pop that up. So when the Lord God formed man of the dust and of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we know that the act of breathing made man into a living being who could be alive, who could walk and talk and do things. The Hebrew word that is used to denote the breathed word in this verse is called neshamor. And this word neshamor is also used to denote spirit or divine inspiration, like to breathe in. So we can see that this act of breathing not only inserted the oxygen into man's lungs that helped him to be the living being, that it also inserted the very life of God into his being, which is really exciting. And we know also that Jesus was part of that creative process. And John says that Jesus is the light and the life of men. So we can see that at that very point, the life of God was put into man. So with that, can we please have a quick look at Proverbs 20:27? So the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And I'm aware that some translations actually have candle instead of lamp, but this one has lamp. So when we look at the Hebrew behind this verse, we discover that the very same word is used to denote spirit as was used in Genesis to denote breathe. So you can see that this same word, neshashor, has been used in one verse to denote breathe and the next verse to denote spirit. So when we put all this together, we can see that the divine breath or spirit, the very life inside of a person, also functions like a lamp or a candle. So not only to illuminate our innermost parts, but to give us an awareness of our relationship with God and to also help us to be switched on, in a sense, to his truth and his wisdom. But when we think of a lamp or a candle, we know that it needs a light source. So there's a fire element, and there's also a requirement of some kind of oil. And the oil is a fantastic topic, which I won't go into today, but we'll just stick with the fire. So could it be reasonable to say that when the first humans sinned, those two humans that carried that lit lamp when they sinned and rebelled from God's commandments, could the flame of that light, or that lamp or candle, have been extinguished in their life? So evidence for this suggests, or that lamp going out in humanity is seen in the fact that they lost their fellowship, their intimacy and their favour with God. They also lost their identity. They became self-aware and ashamed of their own nakedness. And they also lost their eternal life in God. So 1 Corinthians 2:7 says that the wisdom of God became hidden from humanity for ages. So people became darkened. So a light has gone out in humanity. But excitingly for us, we know that when Holy Spirit came to re-indwell humanity in the book of Acts, actually chapter 2, amid that awesome spectacle, we saw that Holy Spirit manifested as literal flames on each individual, that tongues of fire that gave an indicator that his indwelling presence was coming back in power into humanity. So at Pentecost, our Holy Ghost came, became that flame that re-illuminated the candle or the lamp of God that had been extinguished in humanity for many ages. And this, beautifully enough, lit the path for healing, transformation, navigation through life and the full measure, and an understanding of the full measure of the meaning of life. So when we look into chapter 1 of Ephesians, we see that the Apostle Paul prays that all the believers would be enlightened by the Spirit of God and in his wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him to understand six things, and I'll list those for you. So the first one is the hope of his calling. The second one is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. The third one is his exceeding power and greatness. The fourth, his mighty resurrection power in the lives of believers. The fifth is dominion over powers of darkness. And the sixth is overcoming power through Jesus Christ. So essentially the Holy Spirit has got a really powerful incredible role in our lives in completely switching us on to the fullness of God. So he's certainly not to be taken for granted at all. He's a pretty good friend. So moving on, if we could kindly go back to the first slide. Thank you. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. If we could please go to Romans 8:26. So likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought. I keep putting ought in there twice, sorry. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in case you might be wondering right now, I have a real passion about picking apart scriptures and bringing them back to the original language. I started off with a love for Hebrew and I've gone on to starting to understand a bit of the Greek. So in true fashion, I picked this one apart. I pulled it apart in the Greek to have a look what the meaning behind it in the Greek was. And I think as much as I love the English language, I think sometimes it lacks some dimensionality, and that's something that the original languages has. So I really love to do that. So I took out some keywords. I first looked at the word helps, and I'm not even going to try and say the word because it's long, has a lot of letters, but the word helps in Greek actually means to take hold with, by the side of someone for assistance. So essentially it means to share the load. So the Greek word for weakness is asteneia, which talks about areas where we're lacking in strength. The third word is groaning, which is called stenogmos in Greek, and it literally means to sigh or to groan. And interestingly, the same word stenogmos was used when Jesus groaned just before at the scene of the burial chamber just before he rose Lazarus from the dead. It's the same word. And when we're thinking of cannot be uttered, there was a string of Greek words, and it literally means that you're unable to speak and articulate. And I think that's something that we all understand at times, and we just don't even know how to put words to what we're going through. So when you put this all together, it's quite gorgeous. It reads, Holy Spirit stands by our side and partners with us by taking hold of the areas where we're lacking in strength, and acts on our behalf by uttering sighs to God where we're unable to articulate. It's really lovely, isn't it? See how lovely the ancient language is. It just brings so much more meaning about through the scripture. I just love it. So Holy Spirit, as the manifest power of God and Christ Jesus, he stands in the place. He stands in that place where we're weak, and he smiles at us and he says, I know you're not doing well, but we're going to do this together, you and I, which is so lovely. I love that partnership element. And generally in our areas of weakness, we feel insecure, we lack understanding, we might be a bit confused. There's a whole lot of areas of not really knowing and lack of solidness. But the great thing about it is when Holy Spirit stands there, he knows exactly who he is. He's confident in his identity, his character. And he knows what he wants to do, and he knows what he's making us into. So we've got this great friend and character in our life who's just on target. He stands there where we have no idea, where we feel like a mess, and he's just on target. So he's a good friend. He's a very, very beneficial person to have in our life, not only from an illuminatory perspective, but also for that support. He wants to stand in those places. He loves it. It gives him the ability to be who he wants to be in our lives. Oh, those places where we're messing up, the places that we don't like about ourselves, and he wants to stand there and he wants to be that one who makes us strong and makes us more like him, and to bring his love into those places so we learn how to be loved by him and then in turn to love ourselves. Because it's easy not to like ourselves, it's easy not to love ourselves in the areas where we're either feeling incomplete or broken, or we're messing up. So Holy Spirit makes us feel safe in the place where we are most at risk. John 14:16 speaks of Holy Spirit as our comforter and our friend. And the Greek word for comforter is a word called parakletos, which literally means one called or summoned to another's side. So he's here, he's by our side, he shines his light on areas of our life where something is missing, and he invites us to take on a new part of his nature, a new healing, a new gift. It's a bit like, how about you give me that, which you never really enjoyed about your life anyway, and I'll replace it with this, which is so much better and will give you immeasurable joy. But in this, his giving isn't dependent on our ability to sacrifice completely, because I don't know about you guys, but I don't know how to do that all the time. Sometimes it's just an incremental journey of bit by bit sacrifice. And he's good with that. He's patient with that. And as we learn to let go gradually, he'll just keep filling those parts or bringing his fullness into those parts. And gradually you think, I like that. I'll surrender a bit more. So bit by bit, the new comes in and the old falls away. I used to have this idea that, oh my gosh, I've just got to force myself to surrender. I really need to let it go, otherwise God's not going to be happy. But no, he's so much more gentle than that, and he understands that there's layers of things that we've experienced and been through. And I really learned that in that process, sometimes there are deep pockets in our life, especially if we've been through some deep trauma, where a girlfriend of mine articulated it quite quickly, quite beautifully. She said, God can have all of me, except there's this really little jelly part inside that I don't want him to touch. And I thought, wow. I thought, God, it really made me think, you know, how much is that a reality for most of our life? There's some deep areas that we just don't even know how to let God touch, how to let a human touch. And I think the key for dealing with those before God is just coming to him in our inability and saying, God, can you just make me willing? Because I just don't even know how to let you there. And I do that a lot. Please make me willing. Please make me willing. And I think God really embraces that, and he says, yes, now it's my time to shine. And I listened to a testimony of a guy who was in a heavy metal band. I can't remember it, but he got saved. So he had a huge culture of drugs and the whole bit that goes in with the rock and roll culture. And he became a Christian, and he had a cocaine habit that he was really struggling to get free of, even though he'd been saved. And he just literally said to God, I want to give it up and I don't, help me. And he said, for the next week, I did cocaine and read the Bible. Bang, and then it was finished. So, you know, he was honest with God. He said, I don't know how to do this. And Holy Spirit just worked with that. And I think that's what he loves when we don't know where to start. Help me to take the first step. So in these times of transformation, we all are familiar with the inability to get words out in prayer. We don't know what to say. We don't even know what needs to be healed or what needs to be done. Sometimes we just don't know. We just have this sense that something's not right. And generally the most we can utter in those times is tears or frustration maybe. And this unutterable groan has big meaning with God. He understands it because it provides a place for his spirit to inhabit and express on our behalf. So when we're at the end of our ability to understand and to work it out, Holy Spirit stands. He sends all his words. He sends all his prayers on our behalf to God. And some of these, because some of these prayers or desires might be things that we are too big to express, or perhaps there are limits in our own language. Perhaps there's grief or sadness putting a veil over them and we don't know how to push through. Or we sense that there's something going on and we don't know what it is. We have no discernment. So it's these situations where Holy Spirit goes deep, shines that torch in, and makes the most appropriate prayers. And these prayers he carefully articulates to God and expresses which again in turn expresses God's deep desires for us and then spurs on what God determines to do in our lives. So it kind of takes the pressure off a bit, I think, of having to always get these beautiful prayers out. And I think sometimes you can just sit there and go, oh, I don't know what to do, or groan or cry, or, you know, it just takes that. And I think particularly when we've got a promise in our life and we've been waiting a long time for it, you just sometimes get to the point where you just, it's hard to keep standing. And I think, you know, he comes in and strengthens us. So if we could please go back to the slide. So number three is searching the depths, which is Romans 8:27. So he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. So here from this verse, you really get a strong sense of Holy Spirit going deep into our innermost being as a torch. When we're really going through something that we may not fully understand, he brings clarity to us and he clarifies our needs to God to set the promise or the overcoming in motion and to manifest that in his life. So he knows our innermost being, and he also knows the mind of God, and he knows what we need, and he knows what he means, and he expresses that to God in words, desires, groans or sighs or tears. And in each, God reads that language of the Spirit and prepares the answer according to the request. So as our intercessor, he comes between us and God as mediator or advocate, acting on our behalf and for our ultimate benefit. He makes intercession for us by negotiating and managing as like a friend or an agent. And all the affair, and he's always interested in all the affairs pertaining to our relationship with God and to our salvation and our destiny as well. And by directing and qualifying our needs in the right way, he influences the heart and the mind of God. So it looks a little bit like, so Father, your daughter or your son needs a miracle, or they need a healing, Oh, Father, remember that gift that we have for John or for Leonie. Let's give it now. Or let's reward Ken or Michelle with that promise that they've been thanking us daily for years, and so on and so on. So in this era where salvation is still, it hasn't fully broken through. So even though we're saved and we have Christ in our life, we haven't broken through into the fullness of that resurrection life that we'll have when we're in his fullness, which will either be at the end of this age or when we, if we go to heaven sooner. So Holy Spirit stands with us now where we're incomplete, helping us as our paracletos to keep our hearts alive with certainty, freedom and the consciousness of our sonship. And he utters the unspeakable, and to help us pray Abba Father or Daddy to God. And I want to share an experience that I had as a very, very young Christian, where I really started to know the power of Holy Spirit. I was about 20 or 21, so I'd been a Christian for about 5 years. And I came from a pretty, I guess, permissive family is the best way to describe it. We just had free rein, and there wasn't a lot of parenting or a lot of boundaries or a lot of structure, and we were just pretty out there. There wasn't, I remember going to a friend's house and they had structure and they had afternoon tea, and I thought, this is really strange. But anyway, so when I became a Christian, I was saved in a word-based church, which is beautiful. I had a great foundation of the word, but I didn't know about the Spirit. And I got into this church and I just thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? You know, I didn't know about structure and manners and doing the right thing and being nice. I just had none of that. I was just a bit of a loose cannon. And I met God. I knew there was a reality of change in my heart. I believed. But none of it made sense. I didn't really know how to be a Christian. I didn't know how it worked. And so I sort of plodded up and down for the first 5 years. And then I think about 20, I got really committed. I'm going to try and make this work. And I found a church, which was another word-based church, but I didn't know any different. And I just sort of thought, well, it's not working again. Very quickly after I started going, it's not working again. all these people. It was a beautiful group of young people that I was with, and I thought, it's not working for me. How come they're nice? How come they've got manners? How come they're good? It's like they had something driving them and I didn't know how to be anything else than myself. And I just sort of thought, all right, something true in my heart, so I'm going to chase that, because if God's real, I want to know him. And so I sort of embarked on this gutsy search, which probably lasted about 12 months. And I can be a bit of an all or nothing person, so I pushed pretty hard. And so by the end of 12 months, I was a bit of a wreck. And I literally remember one day just saying to God, look, it's over. You need to save me today or you've lost me forever. And I ended up calling up, I had a couple of friends in the church who were trying to speak into my life, and I called up and I said, look, can you come and pick me up? I'm not in a good way. And they came and picked me up. It was a lovely couple, and plonked me in front of it was videos back then, showing my age, plonked me in front of a video on creation, a fellow speaking on creation, and I'm thinking, what are you doing this for? So I sat there and I watched, and I just sort of thought, oh, okay, I don't think I can do this anymore. I literally felt like giving up completely. And not in a bad way, not in a willful way. I just felt like I just had nothing left. And I sat down, and in an instant, I was watching this fellow, and he was talking about the creation of the sun and the moon, and how the sun is the body that illuminates the day, and the moon is the body that illuminates the night. But without the sun, the moon is nothing. And God just opened my eyes in an instant, and I saw that I'm the moon, and without the sun, I have no light. And I have no strength and have no energy to do anything. And it just was that moment that showed me that, oh my gosh, God is my all. It's him who gives me the strength to be a Christian. It's him that gives me the strength to do all of this. I thought, how have I not seen this? This is good. And I remember that the Holy Spirit just did this work. I didn't understand the time, but I literally felt like my insides were draining out of me. I felt like every single bit of my insides was just literally coming out through my feet. I felt like I was skin with nothing else inside. I'm like, what's this? Is this you got? This is really good. And I had this incredible experience with the love of God. Just my heart was full, even though I felt empty. And I started laughing, and that was my first encounter of Holy Spirit. Before that, I had no idea. I had no idea how to live the Christian life. I had no idea what role Holy Spirit had. And it was that moment that was the pivotal moment for me. It made me realize that God wants to move in our lives in both word and power. And, I literally woke up the next day, and it was such a powerful transformation that I heard God's voice. I knew how to walk in him, or I was learning, but I knew that it wasn't me doing it. It was him. It was his spirit in me. And two interesting things. I had no ability to sing or dance before that. People would laugh at me. It was absolutely beyond comprehension. I just couldn't, but I could sing and dance the next day. And I just, you know, it was such a powerful experience for me to understand that Holy Spirit is so important in this Christian walk. He effectively gives us everything we need to live in this walk. So it was pretty incredible. So just back to the last slide, or the first slide, and I'll just touch on the last point. So, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So that's why I use the title, It's All Good, because it is. It really is all good, and I really believe that God wants us to know that. It is such a good walk to be with him, regardless of what we go through. It's all good. So whatever we experience, we can have this confidence that our God, our Holy Spirit who dwells in us, is going to turn it around for our benefit. All of the things that we go through, whether good or bad, whether we cause them, whether they came upon us, whether others caused them, God will turn them around, work with God, his providence, and bring good for us. Whatever troubles or afflictions or persecutions that arise, he directs them, he orchestrates them, and makes them contribute to the general good of the person who loves him and who's walking by faith and love under the influence of Holy Ghost. It's pretty exciting. I think that's a good thing to always focus on. So not only does he stand for us in personal weakness, But he promises to work on our behalf, to turn our experiences around, whether they're good or bad. And he wants them all to become a benefit for us, or a blessing for us. There's a singer, a Christian singer, I don't know if many of you know her, you might. Her name is Sarah Groves. She's really beautiful. She has a lyric in one of her songs where she says, "I cannot remember a trial or a pain that God did not recycle to bring me gain." So it's such a comfort to know whatever we face or experience, no matter how difficult, we can always look forward confidently and expect God to bless us and promote us. Now, I'm not as a complex person, which I am. I'm not big on going out and listening to a lot of other ministers of the gospel, and that's only because it overwhelms me too much. I just pretty much stick with what I get here, but I know a lot of people do, and that's completely fine. But I might have one or two that I'll listen to, and one of them I do listen to from time to time is a fellow called Graham Cook, and he just has developed this wonderful joy about going through trials with Holy Spirit. He just, "Oh my gosh, Lord, look at this. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to turn this into? How are you going to promote me? What have you got for me at the end of this?" The attitude is just phenomenal. And I think, you know, if we can learn to look at our difficult situations like that instead of, I mean, I tend to freak out a little bit, but I'm really learning that I need to change my perspective, because if we can look at every difficulty as an opportunity to promote us, as an opportunity to receive what God has at the end, you know, how exciting is it going to be when we face difficulties? And even when you go through a huge warfare for something, you know, there are things that my husband and I have been promised that we haven't yet received. I mean, we've been warfaring for many years, and I just sort of stop sometimes and think, "Oh my gosh, your glory, the glory that you get out of these things, God, is going to be so much more potent because of the struggle, because of the warfare that we've gone through." So these are things that can help us to remain excited when we go through difficult situations in Holy Spirit, or when we've got a long way. So just to summarise how Holy Spirit loves us in terms of how he intercedes, he shines his light on areas of our lives that keep us bound, helps us to let them go so he can give us more of him. He prays for us. He helps us in our weaknesses by partnering with us to help us to overcome. He's our navigator. He illuminates the truth, wisdom and character of God to us. He illuminates the truth of who we are in Christ. He makes benefit for us out of all that we experience in life. So basically, Holy Spirit awakens us to the true life and he helps us to live it. So if you'd like to close your eyes, I'm going to finish with a prayer. So Father, I thank you and I praise you for each and every person here, and I just give you all the glory for what you're doing and what you've done in their lives. And I just thank you that you help us all, Father, just to get to know Holy Spirit as our paracletos, as our friend and our comforter. Help us to walk with him every day, all through the day. Help us to have that habitational relationship with him where we're just so present with him and we realize that he's present with us in everything. Help us to know him, that he's everywhere. He's in him all things consist, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you just impart this fullness and this relationship into our lives. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.